Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And yes, I've got my vessel with me again tonight. I'll keep that right handy here. Isaiah chapter number 43. Don't you love the Bible? I love the Word of God. God only speaks from within the confines of His Word. Sometimes you hear somebody say, well, I've got some kind of extra revelation. No, God only speaks from within, from inside His Word. And I'm glad for that. I love the Bible. I mentioned this morning about the Bible, how the Bible will cleanse you, how it'll clean you up on the inside, how it's a mirror. You know, something else about the Bible, we won't look at it tonight, but in the book Jeremiah, it says, is not my word like a hammer? And I'm thinking about that. I've been in church all my life. My dad was a preacher. My grandfather was a lay minister. Matter of fact, I'll mention this. I got my grandson, my youngest grandson, Daniel, with me tonight. And if the Lord should call him into ministry, it'd be the fifth generation in the Yarbo family. That'd be really exciting for me. I hope I'll live a long time to see that. But God has been good to us. And I remember my dad talking about this particular scripture. And of course, as a kid, I went to public school as a kid, and of course, I'm a pastor's son, and so the kids called me a reverend at church. I said, hey, reverend, how you doing? You know, just teasing me. I'm okay with that. And then they called me a Bible thumper, because I carried my Bible. It's interesting. I'll tell you the story. I used to carry my Bible around on top of my books. It was a little Gideon New Testament when they gave those out. I still have mine, by the way. That's a lot of years ago. I have the date in there when I got saved. That's a treasure to me right there. But so I'd carry that around on top of me, and some of the guys around the school, they'd make fun. You know, they knew my dad was a preacher, you're a Bible thumper, and so on and so forth. And they'd make fun of me. And I said to my dad one day, I said, Dad, I get harassed sometimes about carrying my Bible around with my books. And he said, hey, I'll tell you what to do if you dare to do this. Next time someone says something about you carrying your Bible around on top of your school books, pass it to them, and pardon me, but if you've got enough, say to them, if you've got enough guts, you carry it around all day at school. I thought that was good. Right there. If you got enough, whatever it takes. Pardon me for using that word, but if you got whatever it takes, in other words, probably they'll shy away from that. They wouldn't do that. And that's the truth. But the Bible says, it's not my word like a hammer. How many of you have ever, oh my soul, this probably only applies to men, but how many of you have ever wanted to hang something up on the wall or something in the house and you don't know where your hammer is and you've taken your shoe off? And you use your shoe to bang a tack in or a nail. Anybody ever done that? I've done it. And there's something about hanging. My wife's saying to me, honey, would you hang this picture up for me in the living room? It's a new picture I just got today, and I'd like you to hang it up. And there's something about hanging it up at 11 p.m. at night when you live in an apartment building. And you're thumping on the wall like that, you know, hanging. And, you know, my wife says, move it over just a little bit. Okay, move it over. And what I'm saying by that is this. That would annoy somebody. Somebody in the next apartment, someone on either side, maybe someone below or someone above it would annoy them. And can I say this, that a hammer, using the word of God like a hammer, you're going to annoy some people in life. But what is a hammer primarily used for? It's used for building. What I'm saying by that is this book, have you got this now? Not my message, but it may be tonight. This book will build your life. Is not thy word like a hammer? Amen. You can build your life by this book, the right kind of life. Secondly, that same verse says in the book of Jeremiah 29, it says that is not thy word like a fire? When you grow cold in your Christian life, you pick up the Bible. When it's most difficult to read the Bible, and it'll warm you up. It'll stir your heart. Read the Gospel of John. Don't get into Revelation or the book of Deuteronomy or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. But I encourage you to get into the book of John or get into one of the Gospels and read about the real events of real live people back then. And it'll stir your heart. So let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And I want you to look, please, at verse number 11. We'll read verses 11 through about 19, I believe. But you follow along as I read tonight. Isaiah chapter number 43. and verse number 11, please. Verse number 11, it says, I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. Mark that down. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one Lord and only one Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Isn't this great? It's telling us we're of the Lord. It's telling us God saves, telling us we are his witnesses. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, that's an old English word. It says, let, who shall stop it? Nobody can stop God. Amen? You know that, and the Bible says that right here. Then verse number 14, pay attention to this. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, look at this phrase right here, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse and the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. That little word tow, again, is an English word. It actually means the wick in a gas light or a gas lantern and so on. And it says, basically, God says, I can shut them down. I can just turn them off. Those individuals right there, they are extinct. He's talking about those from Babylon and so on. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing now, and it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? And look what it says right here. And I will even make a way in the wilderness and the river in the desert. So two verses here. Verse number 16, I want you to look back at this, and then we'll get into the message. It says, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea. And then verse number 19, it says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. So twice he says, I will make a way, I will make a way. And I want to talk a little bit about that by way of testimony tonight, how the Lord will make a way for you and for me. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you'd work in our hearts and you would help us tonight, Lord, to take that which applies to us, that which applies to our lives. Help us to see, Lord, that although things may look impossible in our lives, things may look impossible in our realm, but Lord, help us to understand that with God all things are possible and that you can make a way when it seems there is no way. I pray that you do a special thing tonight in our lives, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. I've mentioned several times, I grew up in a pastor's home. And having been in a pastor's home for a period of years and then being in ministry for over 50 years, the bottom line is every week of the world, I'm aware of people that have difficulties and people have needs and people have issues that there seems to be no answer to, impossible situations. When I pastored, folks would come to me and they say, Pastor, this is a situation. What can we do about this particular situation? I'll never forget, there was a lady walked in a Sunday morning service. The service had started. She walked in late. She came in and sat down. She looked to be very troubled. And so we had the service. And after the service, I mentioned to my wife, I said, would you please catch this lady before she leaves? She looks like she needs someone to talk to, and she looks like she has the world on her shoulders. Would you please go and talk to her? So she did. She caught up with her at the door. And the lady was very, very kind and certainly wanted to sit down and talk. And she told my wife this story. She said, I've been to 10 churches in this area. She said, I do not want to live anymore. Something happened in my life. I do not want to live anymore. I want to get out of this world. I want to get out of this life. I do not want to live anymore. My wife asked her, if you'd be so kind, would you tell me what the situation was? So she told her. She said, I was out running some errands, driving my car, and my daughter was in the back seat, in her seat and so on. And she said, I made a mistake. I went through an intersection, and I was broadsided in that intersection, and my young daughter was killed, and it was my fault. And she says, I don't know how to get around this. I don't know what to do. It's driving me crazy. I've gone to church after church after church after church. I've asked people. There is no answer, it seems. There's no help. And there's just no way around this at all. And my wife, being led of the Holy Spirit of God, set the lady down. She said, can I tell you how you can know for sure you can go to heaven someday? And right there, my wife led her to the Lord. But she struggled for years and years and years. And I guess so, I understand that. But there is no answer to that. Amen, right there? There's no answer. But God will make a way for a person to move on in their lives. There's some things that happen to you that you'll never get over, but you can get through. You know why? Because God goes before you and God makes a way right there. And it happens. Probably several people in this room have experienced somewhat of what I'm talking about, where something has happened and you just don't know what to do about it. My sister-in-law, God bless her memory, she's married to my youngest brother. And she grew up in a home where her dad was not a believer. Her dad was against them attending church on a regular basis. The bus used to come by and pick up the children, take them to church. He didn't like church. He didn't like the Bible. He didn't like God. He didn't like Christianity. He just didn't like the whole thing and made it very clear to the family all the time on a continual basis. Well, the church prayed for him, and his family prayed for him, and his friends prayed for him, and so on for years and years and years. At 80 years of age, listen to this, at 80 years of age, the man finally, the gospel got through to him, and the man accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. The family's rejoicing, the church is rejoicing, his friends are rejoicing. That week, they were going to have a celebration for him for his 80th birthday. He lived in a country setting. He was out cutting some trees that were in the way of his house and a threat to his house and so on. He was cutting down a tree, and something bad happened. The tree fell on him and killed him. How do you answer to that? How do you give hope for that? As I said a while ago, you'll never really get over it, but you can get through it. Why? Because God makes a way. I know the Lord will make a way for me. We just read about it here in the Word of God. In our text, the Lord is telling the Israelites, he's telling his children, he said, I'm going to deliver you from the hands of the Babylonians. The Babylonians had them captive, and he said, I'm going, by way of prophecy, he's telling them, he said, I am going to deliver you. Because of their sin, they had been under the judgment of God. They're in captivity. But he said, I'm going to deliver you. I promise I will deliver you. And God keeps his promises, by the way. He reminds them that he will deliver them just as he delivered them previous when they were in bondage in Egypt. Prophetically, God is saying this, I will deliver you. It will be all right. You are on the winning side. You will get through this. He's reminding them, as in this psalm, that, or in this a portion of scripture in the book of Isaiah, he's reminding them that he will deliver them. So here in our text, God is reminding them of four different times that he delivered them in the past and can deliver them in the future. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. You know, that's something you ought to mark in your Bible if you haven't marked it. You need to know that God does not change. In a day where things change so rapidly, tomorrow morning, things could be changed in our lives because of whatever in this world. It just seems we're at warp speed, change, 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 amen. But understand, God does not change. So therefore, I really don't need to change. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Old Testament, God does not change. New Testament, Jesus Christ does not change. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So he's saying, hey, listen, if I can deliver them, I will deliver you. If I can help them, I will help you. If I can do the impossible for them, I can do the impossible for you. So here he's reminding them about that. He reminded them, he said, listen, I delivered you. Remember when you were in Egypt and I delivered you? Do you remember that? You were there in bondage. You were making bricks. You were slaves to Pharaoh. And I delivered you. Remember that. He's saying, also, I made a way for you to cross the Red Sea when you were finally freed and you were headed to the Red Sea and the sea was in front of you. Remember this. I not only delivered you from Egypt, but I made a way for you to cross that Red Sea. And then he says, also, remember, you're in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years, that's a long time. Remember, there came a time when you did not have food to eat and you did not have water to drink. Remember, I made a way for you right there. God's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And then he said, remember when you came to the Jordan River, I made a way for you. When you were about to cross into the land of Canaan and it was impossible to cross, I made a way for you. Now, in this text, in your Bible, in black and white, we read here in Isaiah chapter 43. Look again at it, please. Verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in mighty waters. In verse number 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Suffice to say that God will make a way. Now let me tell you this evening what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that God will tell you how he'll make a way. It doesn't say that God's going to show you how he'll make a way. But what it does say is it says God will make a way. You see, I declare unto you, we serve a God who is more than somewhat of a tour guide, who orchestrates and has us follow him through the obstacles and the dangers of life. No, God is far greater than that and far above that. God will make a way for you to get through what you need to get through. You are burdened down with the circumstances to which there is no way out. You know, there's some situations there's no answers to. The only answer is God. We want, I'm sure you've done like I've done. I used to go to my dad and I said, Dad, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And God said, my dad would say to me, only God knows. And that's the truth right there. Only God knows. No question about it. And see, when there's no answer, when there's no option, when there's no hope, when there's no solution, God can make a way. The truth is, there may not be an answer to some situations, but God will make a way. You see, I'm wary of folks treating God like sometimes like an older individual in a senior's home who needs our help and so on, and really he's powerless. God is all powerful today, just like he was back then. Amen. Do you believe that this evening? God's not lost power. God's not threatened by the government. God's not threatened by those who deny that there is a God. God is all powerful, hasn't diminished one iota in his power and his doing. And so today we ought to understand that God will make a way. We say sometimes, well, I wish I had the ability. I wish I could overcome. I wish I had the faith. I wish I had the courage. I wish I could afford it. I wish. But let me say, we serve a God who is more than just someone who's standing by, and we call 9/11, and he somehow makes a way for us, and we get on through. No, he is far above that. God is the one who can make a way. Now, I want to recall a couple of stories here. In Egypt, God's people are in slavery. It's not a pleasant sight. And God did not forget his people. Pharaoh said, over my dead body will there be a leader risen up that will deliver the people of Israel. These people are my slaves. They're going to build my kingdom. They're going to build my empire. They're going to build my life. I depend on them. And they were quite a force to be reckoned with. And he said, that's what you're going to do. And not on my watch is someone going to be risen up here in the land of Egypt that will deliver my people. Not on my watch. It won't happen. These are people that I depend on, rely on. Matter of fact, you know, he brought a decree. Let's kill the babies. Let's kill the young boys. And you know how Moses, of course, was taken down and put down in the bulrushes. And he thought, I'll fix it that way. One day, wouldn't you know it, his daughter's out for a little walk. And his daughter goes down and she hears this infant crying down in the bulrushes. And she picks up that baby and she takes it back to daddy. And she says, Daddy, look at this. Isn't this the sweetest thing you've ever seen? And she says, Daddy, can we keep him? Can we keep him? Can we keep him? And he reminded her, listen, yes, you can keep her, but not on my watch will anybody ever be raised up to deliver these Israelites and so on. And he said, let it be known. That's not going to happen. Little did he know that God was at work. An impossible situation. The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. They were servants of Pharaoh. There's no way they were getting out. But meanwhile, God in heaven is saying, listen, Pharaoh, not am I only going to raise up a deliverer here, but I will raise him up in your house. I will raise him up in your kingdom. He will eat at your table. He will drink at your table. He will live in your court. You'll go, you'll be going to Toys R Us to buy toys for him. And he'll be the deliverer. He'll be the deliverer of my people. You see what I'm saying here? An impossible situation. Here's Pharaoh, swelled up, puffed up and said, no way will there ever be a deliverer. And a deliverer was raised up right under Pharaoh's nose. That's God right there, folks. Only God can do that. You say, well, I just don't see a way. God can make a way. You see, we have a God who makes a way when there is no way. I'm sure you're familiar with the rest of the story. So Moses was risen up, and Moses was to lead the people out of Egypt and toward the promised land. So here's what happens. The people are finally released. Pharaoh said, okay, just go. So they march toward the Red Sea. They're out there. The Red Sea is in front of them. There's no way to the right. There's no way to the left. The army's behind them and chasing them. God did not show them. He didn't get out his scroll and show them plans for a new bridge. He did not get out his scroll and draw some stuff on a piece of paper and show them how a new tunnel would be erected. What I'm saying by that is God can make a way. God doesn't necessarily show us a way, but God can make a way. God can make a way just like he did for Moses, a deliverer, being brought up under Pharaoh's nose and in Pharaoh's house. Now, what's God doing? He's making a way to deliver them across the Red Sea. So what happens? You know the story. The waters parted. And they walked across. You know what the Bible says? They walked across on dry ground. Dry ground. And then what happened? Of course, the armies are chasing them. They get in there, and the Bible says their wheels drave in because the water came back in, and they were all drowned in the sea, never to be seen again. That's God right there. God will make a way. God will make a way. I want you to remember that scripture in the Bible, verses number 16, verse number 19. God will make a way. He says, I will make a way. God will make a way that's pleasing to him and that is his will. If you're willing to follow, God will make a way. And so the truth is, there may not be something that you can see, but God will make a way. We have a God who can make a way. God in heaven didn't show them. He didn't show them the plans. We would like to see the plans. We'd like to see, well, Lord, what do you have for me tomorrow? Can you print it out for me? Can you shoot it up on the screen for me? No, it's not going to happen. But God can make a way for you. God can do what only God can do. Now, they're delivered. They're headed now into the wilderness. And guess what they discover? It's an interesting story, isn't it? Fascinating how the children of Israel were, number one, delivered from Egypt in a most miraculous way by a leader named Moses. Then they passed over the Red Sea, the waters parted, they passed through, and then they get into the wilderness as they're wandering for 40 years, and, you know, it dawned on them, hey, we don't have any food. Well, that's not good. You got to eat. And we don't have any water. Aren't you glad there's a God, the God of the Bible, who can make a way when it's impossible? Back then, folks, we live in a different kind of world now. Do you understand they could not call Uber? Or they could not call Skip the Dishes? It didn't exist back then, folks. I mean, we live in a different kind of world right now. But there they are. By the millions are there, and there's no eats, and there's no water. So what does God do? God makes a way. God provides. They reach up and pull the grab those quail by the legs and pull them down. They got some meat right there. And then, of all things, strike a rock and water comes out of the rock. It's very interesting. The rock followed them. How did that happen? Some of you remember back several years ago when it seemed in North America they came out with having pet rocks? Remember? Some of you remember some of that? Okay, yeah, I know it's kind of weird. But the children of Israel had their own pet rock. It delivered water to them. Only God can do that. But God can make a way when it's impossible, when even the thought of it is impossible, God can make that. And God did that, and he reminded them about that in this text that we read just a while ago. And he said, hey, you're captive now in Babylon. I'll make a way for you to be delivered from that place. I'll make a way. And so Moses obviously struck the rock and water came out. Now, where do they go on from there? They go on to the Jordan River. And before them, Moses, you know, he cast out the rod and the water parted. But this time, this is very interesting, this time they had to take a step of faith. You know, a little song, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. And the water parted and they went across. You see, I'll make a way. You see, God was able to do the impossible for them, and he can. I'm not talking about pie in the sky or something crazy. You're not going to say, dear God, when I go home tonight, might there be an Escalade parked in my 4,000 square foot home in the garage? No, that's not going to happen. You don't need that, and God knows that, and you know that. But what I'm saying is those things that are important to God and to the will of God, God can make a way. From what I understand, well, hey, I know a little bit about it. You're a church that's on the move. You're over there on Sunday morning. You're over here on Sunday night. And I'm sure you wonder about that. But you know what? God can make a way right there. You say, well, it's impossible. Well, God happens to be the God of the impossible. The Bible does say with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I must simply believe that God can make it happen in God's time. And yet it'd be nice to know, Lord, when will we have our building? When will we have our own church facility? It'd be nice to know that. But you know what? That's in God's timing and God's timing alone. Amen? So God can do that. He can. I made a way of deliverance. I made a way across the Red Sea. I made a way through the wilderness. I made a way when there's no water. I made a way when there's no food. I made a way when there's when you had to get across Jordan. But you know what I love? I love this truth. I made a way when there's no way for you to get forgiveness for your sin. I made a way. I like that right there, because everything else aside, without this, it would all be in vain. I made a way. I made a way for forgiveness of sin. I made a way for you to go to heaven someday. I made a way for you to live by faith. And everybody in this room knows what that is. So, God is one who can make a way. Understand that. God, he said, I've made a way there, and I made a way. If he can make a way in the desert, he can make a way in the ocean, and he did, and he does. Now, several things. God makes a way in time of trouble. God makes a way in time of trouble. God makes a way, as I said, some things you will never get over, but you can get through because God will make a way. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. God can make a way. I heard the story some time ago of a ship that was sailing on the ocean, and the ship developed a leak, and the ship sunk, and the only one that survived was the captain. The ship sunk in the ocean. The captain saw that just ahead, not far away, there was a small little island. He went to that island. He set up camp there. No way to contact anybody. It's long before any kind of communication would be available. And he began to just do what he could to make an existence there. He built himself a hut. He gathered up branches and leaves and so on, and made some protection and all that kind of thing, and was able to find some wildlife on the island where he could get food and so on. He's out one day searching. He's at the end of his rope. He doesn't really want to live any longer. And he's out trying to get some food and trying to get build up on his shelter and so on. And he turns around and he's going back toward the little shelter that he had, and where all his possessions were, all that he had was there. He looked and could not believe what he saw. It was burning. A fire had taken the shelter. Lost everything. He threw himself on the ground that night and spent the night on the ground, banging his fist on the ground, saying, God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. In the morning, when the sun came up, he saw a ship offshore that had anchored, and there was a man in a boat coming toward him. The man arrived ashore, and he said, sir, listen to this. He said, I saw yesterday you sending smoke signals up, and I thought there might be a problem. Tell me, God doesn't take care of you. God really didn't owe that man anything. But God saved his very life in a crazy event. But God can make a way. That's what the scriptures tell us here. God can make a way. So understand that God makes a way in time of trouble. You see, don't ever get angry at God. Don't ever get mad at God because things don't go our way. I know that life is difficult sometimes. I could explain tonight some of the things that happened in our life. For example, some of you perhaps heard the testimony of my wife whose family escaped from a communist country back when it was under the Iron Curtain. And they, through a series of events and a series of serious challenges and so on, they finally made it to Canada. When they arrived in Canada, they were quarantined at the dock for a period of time on the East Coast in St. John, New Brunswick. It all had to be checked medically and so on. Then they were allowed in. And her parents got in living quarters and they could not speak English, but decided to, you know, mix in the community and do what they could to get employment and so on and so forth. And it wasn't very long before, of course, trying to take care of yourself is quite an issue. Her father went out hunting with a friend, and he got shot by accident in a hunting accident. Ended up taking his life. How do you explain that? What's the answer to that? But God made a way for their family. And I can't tell you how many times over the years that my wife has had the opportunity to talk to many, many young ladies and young men, teenagers primarily, who listen to this, are without a father. She grew up without a father. Do we have that situation around today at all, growing up without a father? I guess so. So you see, God knows what he's doing, and God can make a way, and God can deliver. God makes a way in time of trials. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." You never know what a day brings forth, do you? And sometimes perhaps there's folks in this room who have experienced some kind of persecution because you've become a Christian. I pastored a lady for several years who, the day she got saved, she came home rejoicing, told her husband, he said, "If you talk to me one more time in this house about God, about the Bible, about religion, about church, I'm gone." And he left her. She never saw him again. She raised four children on her own. So sometimes that does happen. However, God can make a way, and he did with her. One never knows what a day may bring forth. You have no idea. You have no idea. I know that God is good, and when everything is wonderful, we can rejoice. But the truth is, most people, listen to this, most people in the Bible didn't have a way out, but God made a way for them. Understand that God is not someone who just is standing at the ready to answer our calls about what we're going to do next. But no, God makes a way. He's in the business of doing the impossible. My God can move a mountain. My God can part the waters. My God, hey, in the Bible we read about this, my God can raise the dead. My God can make blind eyes see. My God can make deaf ears hear. Every time you say, "I can't see a way," look heavenward. Amen? Because God can make a way. God can make a way for you. You see, we're sometimes very weak in our faith, just not trusting God. I grew up in a preacher's home. And my dad was a preacher for many years, and he was a hard-line preacher, preached the gospel. And there were some folks, very interesting, some folks at the church, when the church was growing, good attendance every Sunday, salvations almost every Sunday, baptism, the church was growing in a small community, large church. But there were some folks at the church who got upset at my dad and so on, because he was wanting to move forward, wanting to move ahead, wanting to build the church, and wanting to see the church grow. And one of the things folks got upset about is my dad visited the prison every week. And he led a man to the Lord who was just going to be released in a couple of weeks. And so the man was released, and my dad knew that he was released, so he got him and brought him out to church. Some of the folks at the church got very upset because my dad brought someone to church who'd been in prison for a serious crime. And that caused a bit of issue. But then it got a little bit more active and so on, and finally came to a point where there were some folks, a handful of folks in the church that were very angry. One of them was the treasurer. I don't relate this story often, but I think it's worthy of it tonight. The treasurer at the church refused to sign my dad's paycheck. He said, I'm not gonna do this anymore until you leave town. So he refused to sign his paycheck. Well, you know, that can put a dent in your lifestyle. You gotta eat and you gotta expenses and so on. So anyway, funny thing, this was in a rural setting, and it's kind of funny, people in the country are a little bit different perhaps than people in the city, and every once in a while, after dark at night, someone would come by our house and they'd drop a sack of potatoes on the front steps. They'd leave a jug of milk on the steps, pumpkin pies, which I really liked, a basket of apples, various things. A turkey showed up, a turkey that was ready to eat. It showed up, not on its own, but a turkey showed up, and so we had a great dinner. We're sitting at the kitchen table on a Sunday morning after church. Been a great service, house was packed, folks got saved, there was a baptism that Sunday. I remember it just as clear as today. And my dad and mom are sitting there at the table, and my younger brother and I and my sister. And my dad looks at my mom. Her name was Louise, and he called her Lou. And he looked over at Lou, and he said, Lou, he said, you know what? This is interesting. It's been 8 weeks now that they're not paying me at the church. And he said, we're eating better than we've ever eaten. You know, I never forgot that. My mom and dad never talked about the issue. I knew a little bit later, got some feedback from my older brother and so on about what went on and so on. But my mom and dad never talked about it, but they did pray a lot. There's a personal example for me right there that the Lord will make a way. I mean, we had food we'd never had before, and we had lots of stuff. And people learn to love the preacher that much more and appreciate him, because you would never know if you went to a church service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'd never know there was anything going on. Yet the man who was the preacher, who worked 7 days a week basically, wasn't being paid, but he never said anything about it. He just talked to the Lord about it, and God answered his prayer. So you see, what I'm saying is God will make a way for you. I want you to understand that. And I'm finished up now, but as a child, I saw so many things in my life at home that were miracles from God. Later, after we were married, my wife and I went off to university, and we had a source of support at the time we got in university, and the support we had dried up. Hard to understand that. But we were at a point where we was going to university in the U.S. and got to a point where I could no longer pay the tuition for college and so on. So I had to make a decision to come home, and we didn't have enough funds to get us home, and neither one of our parents ever had very much. So it wasn't like I'll call Dad or call Mom and they'll bail me out and so on. No, that didn't happen. So what we did was we prayed. We said, Lord, you know our situation. You know our issue. And we pray that you'd provide for us in some way. It's interesting. We were praying on a Saturday. It was a Saturday morning. My wife and I praying, the children there with us, say, Lord, we need a miracle. Finished the prayer time, and in the U.S. they deliver mail on Saturday. And my wife heard the mailbox close on the front door of the house, so she went and collected the mail after prayer. And there was a letter in there. In a manila envelope with a little window and so on, and usually that means, back in those days, that meant it was a bill. And my wife's name was on it. And she said, why are they sending me bills? You get all the bills. You take care of the bills, right? And I said, yeah, but you better open it up. She opened it up, no word of a lie. I took a copy of this because telling the story, someone might not believe it. She opened up the envelope, and it was a check from the Canadian Revenue Agency, and an error they made in her taxes 4 years previous for the amount of $975. Now back then, back in the dark ages, that was a lot of money right there. I took a copy of the check because I thought there may come a time when I don't even believe this. But all what I'm saying is only God can do that. Now that's my story. You have your stories, I'm sure. And I trust that the Anchor Baptist Church will have stories in the future about how God made a way when there was no way. That's what God can do. So I want you to understand that just go ahead, keep on serving God, God can make a way. I don't know if you know this song. It's a little song called, I know the Lord has made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. I will trust and never doubt. He will surely lead me out. I know the Lord will make a way for me. You know that song. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Don't we have a wonderful God today that will make a way when only He can do it? There's nothing else that can be done. I want to challenge you as an individual, as a parent, as a grandparent, as you may be here as a widow or a widower, a person that is serving God, and you may find yourself in a situation or a position where you see no way out. It's almost like, if I can use this illustration, it's like I walk over to that wall over there between the two windows, and I just walk right through the wall. That's making a way right there. Only God can do that. And God has given us lots of testimony in the Word of God, and God can do it today. Let's just depend and rely upon Him. I know the Lord will make a way for me. He's made a way for us to go to heaven. He's made a way for us to live the victorious Christian life here on this earth. And there's lots more in store for those who trust in Him by faith alone.